man-made disasters. All beings killed by others through abortion, execution, or crime, and through hunting, fishing, pest control, or other killing of animals. All the Tibetans have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Bernard Baranski, Mother Brittany Nicole, Timothy Powell, Agnes and Francis the Ducks, Cookie the Cat, Luna the Cat. Job Search, Roseanne Barona, Mike Brown, Joey Goot, Joe Griffith, Jim Kay, Pooja Shah, Greg Weaver, Joe Whitley. Prayers for Health and Well-Being, Kyabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Geshe Paldin Sangpo, Venerable Gelton, Venerable Turki Lamo, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters, all those in prison suffering abuse or abusing others, and all those addicted to harmful substances. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Family of Bernard Baranski, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcisse Barona, Narcisse Barona Sr., Rita Balil, Katie Bohm, Steve Bull and family, Yuki Burrows, Ken Castello, Dimitri and Suzanne Diamondopoulos, Tashi Droma, Mildred Gooch, Andrew Gorton, Tracy Haas Thompson, Christina Harrison, Keith Harmon, Frank Holt, Sam Jackenthal, Kenny Jackson Buddy, Dallin Sue Johnston, Helen Kasanoff, Rachel Keith, Nina Kowalski, Jonathan Kramer, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Karina Lillig and family, Kim Lillig, Mary Lojek, Pat Long, Ina Lovelace, R.M., Carolyn and Granger Marley, Wilbert Martin, Elvia Mejia and family, Bruce Miller, Antonio Moore Jr., Audrey Murphy, Evan Myrtle and family, Marie Oliver, Jay Pondia, Richard Potter, family of Timothy Powell, Renee Reyna, Ann Rivers, Ralph Rumley, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Pooja Shah, Patty Sheriff, Ronnie Schumann, Andre Smith, Emily Smith, Sarah Bumgarner Snudley, Nancy Sorbet, Carol Struther, Adnan Tokum, Lobsang Topton, Francis Ullman, Dion Washington, Shay Wokowicki, Marguerite Young, Dorji and Kado the Pigs, Almani Pemahum the Chipmunk, Sammy the Cat, Skibo the Dog. If you've never been here before, I'd just like to tell you a few things. Geshe-la will be coming through that door in a few minutes, and then he will do three prostrations toward the throne, and if you will be standing when he enters, and then if you feel uncomfortable prostrating, you can just remain standing. That's perfectly fine. If you have cell phones, if you please turn the cell phone off or leave them on, just put it on vibrate. And Geshe-la has asked me to remind people how auspicious it is and a great purification practice to circumambulate the stupa outside clockwise, and also to turn the prayer wheels outside. You're welcome to bring drinks here. Let's see. The children are welcome to sit on these blue cushions. And every Sunday, before they leave, Kandrala will be telling a story before to the children before the teaching begins. And let's see. Oh yes, you want to make an announcement? Oh. So let's just settle our minds. And also we're going to say some prayers and chants in the gold prayer book, which is very easy, only one book. And the first one is on page 183. It's Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra between the two lines there toward the bottom. And then we'll be saying the three, four measure prayers on page 34. And then chanting it in Tibetan on page 37, and then the two mantras below that in underneath the four measurables. And at the very end, we'll probably say a dedication prayer, and that's on page 246. But I'll say it again before we say the prayers. So let's fill our minds to get ready for the teachings and for the busyness of getting here. And as Master Gurumeh Chetan Lutsandalik said, we, since no one forced us to come here, we've been accumulating merit since we left home. Please turn to page 183 in the Gold Prayer Book. 183. Let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra in between the two lines three times. Taya ta. Read the four immeasurables in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn to page 37. And we'll chant the four measurables in Tibetan toward the bottom of the page. And then Chen Reisig's mantra 8 times, and then Green Taurus mantra 7 times, keeping in mind the people on the prayer list I just read. San Chen Tam Chen
helpers? Nope. Okay. So, this is a story about the ant and the grasshopper. Well, and a lot of the adults are going to think they know the ending to this story, but they don't. Always love fooling adults, especially myself. So, it's a very, very old story, and it was summertime, and it was wonderful, and all the is getting ripe, and the seeds, you know, have you seen blueberries? And you know when the grass starts to hang heavy and there's little seeds on it at the end of it? Well, the ants were really busy because they were getting ready for winter. So they were harvesting, they were carrying, they were storing, they were getting really ready for dinner, and they were very busy. You've seen ants, right? Six legs, very, very busy. So, And they were even harvesting milk pods. Have you ever seen milk pods? You know when they fly all over and there's all that fluffy stuff? Well, they were harvesting all of that so they would have really, really warm beds for the winter, patting it all down and stuff. Well, in the meantime, the grasshopper was sitting up on the hill, and you know grasshoppers can make noise with their back legs. And he was singing and he was dancing and he was just, you know, picking a stalk, having a little nibble, hanging out, going to see his friends, and looking at these ants working. Well, one of the ants, very fierce, grumpy ant, looked at the grasshopper and said, "You better get to work. You're going to be sorry if you don't get ready for winter." And the grasshopper said, "Ah, yeah." And he just went back to singing and hanging out. Well, guess what? Winter came, kind of like we're getting now. And it's not quite winter, but the leaves are off the trees. You know, yesterday it was 70 degrees. This morning it was 50, so it's getting a little cold. So the ants, so they've got their berries, they got their seeds, they got their nuts. And, you know, some of the nuts were so big it took three ants to carry it. But they got it all stored and neat, and they're ready for winter. So they go into their little ant hill, they close the door, and they're just snug and warm. Well, when it got really cold one day, knock, 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 knock. Well, the door ant that day was the grumpy ant. And he went to the door, and who's standing there? The grasshopper, right? Everybody knew that part, right? And he's shivering, and he's making really bad sounds with the back of his leg, like, and he's so cold. And he says, "I'm really, really, really hungry, and I'm really cold. Can I come in?" And the grasshopper puts four of his six legs on his, I don't know, the hips. Do ants have hips? And says, "No way. I saw you play all summer. I warned you. You're just going to have to suffer." And he starts to close the door, and the grasshopper kind of, he's not hopping much at this point, walks away. Well, one of the other ants comes up and sticks his foot in the door and smiles and says, "Come on in. It's warm in here. We got plenty of food. Come on in." Well, the grumpy ant, he kind of goes almost ballistic. Says, "What do you mean letting him in?" And the welcoming ant says, "You know, sometimes beings are foolish. And should we let him die or suffer just because he was made a foolish choice?" And he welcomes the grasshopper in, and the grasshopper says, "Oh, thank you." And he sits down, and there's this big table of nuts and berries, and he just starts eating. And in the meantime, the grumpy ant is just... Has anybody ever been looked at like that? And he gets all full, and he's finished, and he's happy. And guess what he starts... So this sometimes the story ends here. And, you know, they give you this moral of the story. You know, if you don't work hard and you make bad choices, you're just stuck. Well, that's not the end of this story. So the grasshopper kind of leans back. He's feeling good. He's feeling warm. His legs are loose. And he starts singing. Whoa, 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 whoa. And what's he singing about? He's singing about the sun and the warmth and the wind and all of the good things for summer. And he sings so well, all of the ants can see it and feel it. And they get so happy, they start dancing and singing with the grasshopper. Even the grumpy ant, he's like smiling. And they're just kind of hanging out. Well, so this is what they learned. That work is really, really, really good. But play is really, really good too. And you need to learn how to do it together. And guess why I told this story today? Because we're here to celebrate some Kadampa Center ants. Yesterday, There are a whole bunch of ants that know how to sew really well. And they got together. And would someone bring one up here, please? And they got together and they sewed. Well, they cut the fabric and then they pinned it. And then they sewed it and stitched it so that on the back of all of the chairs in the center, there could be pockets so we could take good care of the Dharma. So let us celebrate the Kadampa Center ants. And say thank you, and we hope that they do something in play today. Okay? End of the story. Have a great class. Be ants and grasshoppers, okay? Thank you for your wonderful, wonderful listening. Now I think I'm good, but I'm gonna slip here. Whoops, sorry. Turn this off.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Wonderful story.
All the Kadampa Center ants, please stand up.
Yeah, I think that's nice.
Darling.
So maybe somebody will lead nine round breathing meditation. Samala or maybe Chudila. Nine round breathing meditation. Anybody can lead. So we'll do together, okay? Nine round breathing meditation.
So this meditation Geshe-la has told us is a good one to start with anytime you're doing meditation. And the purpose of this is to get rid of imbalanced or wasteful energy that's no longer useful. And it gets stuck in our channels. And so this helps to get rid of that. The mind and really every thought rides on energy. And this energy is constantly moving through the channels in our body. And an imbalance can be caused by scattered thoughts, having disturbing thoughts, and not placing your focus in one place. So without concentration, the mind becomes imbalanced. And so this will help address that. And it's easy to learn and easy to do, and you can share it with others. You don't need to have any prayers or any preparation for it. So the main thing in terms of there's, you know, a seven-point position for meditation, but the main thing is to have your back straight, because if your back is straight, the channels are straight, and when the channels are straight, then the energy flows. So some people talk about like having a stack of coins, that your spine is a stack of coins, or imagine a balloon sort of attached to the top of your head and pulling you up. So have your back straight, and then I'll show you first, and then we can do it all together. So you start with your left hand in the ring finger on your left hand, and you block your left nostril with that, and you'll begin with the inhale, and you'll inhale through the right nostril. And it's long and slow, deep breaths. And then after you finish that inhale, you switch the ring finger and block off the right nostril and exhale through the left. And you do that three times, and that makes the first set of three. Then you switch hands, and you use the ring finger on your right hand and block the right nostril. And inhale through the left, long, slow. And then you switch, and you do a slow exhale through the right, and do that three times. And then you breathe in through both nostrils and out through both. Again, this long, slow, steady breath. And you do that three times. So that's a total of 9 rounds. So does everyone understand? Are there any questions before we start it? Okay, so start with the left hand. Ring finger on the left hand and block the left nostril and do a slow, steady inhale. Then switch over and exhale through the left. Do that 2 more times. Okay, and then we'll switch hands for the next set and block the right nostril with the right ring finger and inhale. Switch and exhale. Two more times. Now we'll just inhale through both nostrils and exhale through both, long, slow, and steady, 3 times. Okay, and that makes 9. And you can do more than one set if you want if you're doing this at home.
Yeah, thank you, Chukila. Very good. Oh, wonderful. Before we start the discussion, please would you mind to take one moment or 1 minute to introduce to yourself to each other. So I would like to say a few words about meditations. So see, like what we have no body and we have mind. And so many complications, you know, occur because of the body, you know, so that's like because of the body, there are so many, you know, complications regarding to health occur, because of the, you know, having this body, physical body. So similarly, you know, having this mind, you know, then so many complications also occur, you know, simply having a mind. We do so much, you know, we do so much, we eat, you know, we, you know, shower, you know, we like shave, we shave, you know, some people they grow their hair, some people they shave their hair, you know. I'm the one of one who no, never let grow my hair. You know, see, all we do all kinds of things. Take care, you know, basically to take care of our body. Oh. And the same thing, you know, is important. It's very, very important. So to learn, you know, to learn how to take care of our mind, because so many complications. So you, me, everybody. Simply, you know, because this mind is not well trained. Please correct my pronunciations. When my pronunciation is not good, sometimes people hear. So last in the class, I'm trying to say plate, and some people in the class hearing plate, three plate. So then when I say word chronic disease, and some people keep hearing calling Jesus. my pronunciation. Slowly, take time to learn, to correct. Anyway, so please, don't hesitate if I don't pronounce the word correctly, then, you know, just say it. So, you know, me, all my friends, you know, who come here, you know, I've been saying this, you know, last 15 years, because, you know, yeah, you could do so many things at home. You could sleep easily, you know, sleep. I like to sleep, so if I don't have to come here, so I'll probably sleep. Because you come here, you know, to maybe have some interest or maybe want to learn something. So therefore, I feel like moral responsibility to, you know, to share, you know, knowledge, whatever knowledge that I have. So now it's all come back on meditation. So meditations is to the power or purpose of meditation to reduce our disturbing thought. Okay, that's very, very important. So then slowly we will learn how not to act on every our thought. You know, see, all kind of thought arise. You know, it's not that we meditate night before. Okay, I want to have had this thought. I want to have that thought. You know, so therefore, I'm going to say, "Fred, it's not like that." You know, every day, all kind of thought like pops up. Then out of that, how many of them are healthy? That's how we need to calculate. You know, and how many of them are, you know, like healthy, helpful thoughts, you know, how many of them are dangerous thoughts. So then based on that calculations, we need to rethink how to educate our mind not to react on every thought, you know. So many mistakes that occur because we feel like we have to react on every our thought that arise. But that's not true. We don't have to react, you know. But it is really difficult. It's really difficult for you, for me, everybody. It's difficult. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's very difficult. But sake of our own happiness and sake of positive atmosphere. You know, if you want to live into positive atmosphere, if you're living with someone else, that someone else also refers to the, you know, pet, you know, cat or dog. You know. If you are happy, you are calm, peaceful, even the pet, you know, so I'm not sure about cat, but the dog, you know, so they know right away. See, even animal knows. Even animal enjoys. You know, if somebody's happy, you know, even animals, you know, can kind of feel relaxed. You know. So, I myself, no, not perfect, no, make a lot of mistake, no, but, you know, try every day, every single day, try, you know, every single day, trying and trying to be mindful, you know, mindful, not to make sure, not to act on every thought that arises, you know. Then try to act on the positive thought that arises and try to act on that much as possible, much as possible. But, you know, it's hard, but we cannot give up because simply it's hard, you know, we can't give up. You know, even the certain things for our body, you know, it's not easy, it's hard. Exercising, going to gyms, you know. We can't just sit there, you know, and pray, you know, so that I have, you know, have good body, you know. That's not how you're going to build your body. If you really want to build your body, you have to go to gym and work hard, you know. No effort, no accomplishment. Huh? See, everything, you know, physical development, mental development, all require some effort. Huh? If you put effort, you can change. We can change. We can change our thought. Huh? At the same time, don't think that you are the only one who's making mistakes. No. That's like wrong. Like that's misconceptions, you know. In samsara, well, everybody makes mistake. Everybody makes mistake. That's why it's called samsara. It's full of complications, you know. Everything's come with the complication, everything's, you know. Food, clothes, weather, job, house, pet, you know. Everything's come with the complications. So that's the reality. There's nothing that you are doing something wrong. That's the reality. So even just having an understanding of samsara means own existence. Samsara means not place. It's like own existence, no? Because we get headache because we have head. If you don't have head, you don't never get headache. No, you don't need to worry about getting headache because you have no head. So see, it's not there something, you are doing something wrong. It's very, very, you know, this is mental complications. Complications that occur due to the mind is complex, complicated. So that requires patience, time, practice with effort. It requires three things. Huh? Otherwise, you know, if we act on every thought that arises, then life is going to be not happy. Life is going to be miserable. Huh? Why? Because most of the thought, just analyze, you know, how many thoughts arise, analyze out of that how many of them are something good, or so how many of them are dangerous. You know? So if we act on, you know, every dangerous thought, then it's not good, you know. And unfortunately, that all this, you know, disturbing mind, the way they occur, is like supporting you, it's kind of your support, but if it's not, it's like trick, it's trick. You know? So therefore, so when you have scab, scratching scab feels good, but not having scab is better. Huh? Similarly, sometimes not having opinions is better than having opinions. Huh? So, and sometimes, that applies, same logic applies, sometimes not seeing anything is better than seeing something. No? Some case, no? You don't have to say. But you feel like you have to say, no? Every day is challenge, every day is challenge. But that challenge can become opportunity to grow, to really grow from deep inside, to grow, opportunity to grow. No? So, same here. Now, what we like to discuss is, you know, self-forgiveness, you know, self-forgiveness and self-compassion. That's what's been discussing this is the fourth Sunday. Very, very important. We are not here discussing about, you know, like how to become Buddhist. No. We are simply here together to discuss how we can be a better human being, happier human being. Oh? Not necessarily to become Buddhist, not necessarily to become something. Oh? That's another goal. Same for the children programs. Hoping when they grow up, they are going to be, you know, happier human being, better human beings. Oh? Human being with a big heart. A big heart. Oh? Therefore, we say, may all sentient beings have happiness and cause of happiness. Oh? The cause of happiness is positive thought, positive thinking. Positive thinking. There's something we can do. Oh? So that's the goal. You know? So then the world is going to be a better place. More happy people, more kind-hearted people filled with the world. The world is going to be better. Oh? People have been saying prayers throughout the centuries. Monasteries have been built. Churches, there's no shortage of monastery, there's no shortage of like a temple or church, no, there's no shortage of people saying prayer. What is lacking is like human affections, oh, loving kindness, compassion, these are the lacking. If you develop that, you know, so why does, that's the purpose of religions, you know, to help people to develop, you know, positive heart, good heart. So these are important. So these are, you know, I see it's a very, very important thing that everybody should possess. Everybody should possess. So then that requires knowledge, you know. It's not just word. You need some understanding, you know, why everybody's matter. Why everybody's happiness matter, you know. Why just think about myself and ignore everybody. So then, you know, that requires some knowledge, you know, some knowledge. And that knowledge, again, sorry to say, is not that, you know, simple. No, it's not that simple. You know. It's about life. What do you think about life? Is it just first thing that's happening? Or has it happened before? Or like a product that's produced by machines, or like, you know, that requires, as I said, there's a body and there's a mind. There's so much to learn about the mind, body, you know, like, nothing really much to learn, but, you know, when it comes down to mind, then there's so much to learn, and what is mind, what is the cause of thought, you know, what is the, and that, you know, so then slowly understand, expand. Then you realize, oh, everything's connected. Everybody's connected. Not just one time, many times. Everybody's connected, you know. Everybody's connected. So through that connections, then there's the foundation. Through that connections and understanding of existence, what we call samsara. So then, you know, then these are the foundation for universal compassion, you know. Universal compassion. You know? So compassion, so, requires some knowledge. Therefore, you know, Buddha, according to Buddhism, the Buddha taught, you know, Four Noble Truths. To let people know there is a way out. You don't have to stuck there. There's a way out. But it requires effort. You know? There's a way out. So first, we have to understand, you know, about what is complication, you know, what is, you know, in the Four Noble Truths teaching says, truth of suffering, I translated that into complications. It's not really pain, it's complication, you know. And complication, there's layers. Some complications, even animal knows, not that big deal, animal even knows. When it rains, animals also run on the tree. Some complication, you know, is second layer of complication a little bit difficult, then third layer of complication is much more complex. So then based on that complication, then you open up your heart, then you say, may all sentient beings, regardless what they believe, what they do, what they look like, what kind of food they eat, you don't care, simply you want them to be well. You know? Because not just by blind faith, because you have profound reason why everybody's happiness matters. You know? For your own happiness, you know? Everybody's happiness matters. So this is, you know, every day, you know, meditation means thinking, exercise. You know, you think. And try to think, slowly try to think, something positive, then increase that, positive thought, increase that positive thought, I said that 3 Sundays ago, one gentleman said, find something to be grateful. In Buddhism, what you do, minute you wake up, you think about precious human life. Oh. So probably, some of you heard this, probably this is not nothing new. I've been said this probably more than a million times. More than the last 15 or 16 years, I said this many times. But now it's not it's just saying and thinking. So last Sunday I asked you, how often we think something positive? Not just say. How often we think positive, something positive? How often we think something positive? So that matters. That matters. No? That really matters. No? How often we think something positive? Oh, it's not that easy. Then some people rely on prayers to guide them how to think something positive. Some people meditate. Some people go to church. Some people go to temple, to get some kind of inspiration to think something good. It's not that easy. It requires knowledge, How to think positive, how to think. Why is it important to think something positive? When you think something good, not right away, sometimes right away, sometimes, after a couple of minutes, you feel good. When you think something negative, you don't feel good. Sometimes right away, we may not realize, and sometimes after that, then you feel bad. That's not how that means you don't have compassion to yourself. As I mentioned before, please don't misunderstand me. We are, every day is trying to survive day by day, without worrying about year, month, just this present moment, is critical. If I'm wishing to be happy like this moment, so make sure that I don't just get stuck in the past. Every day there's opportunities, what I can do rather than what I can change. Yeah, there are so many things in your life, in my life. I think, what is the mantra?
Woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah, woulda, shoulda, coulda. Yeah, as a human, you think like that, Yeah, as a human, you think like that. But, not having clear pictures of the circumstance, even the woulda, coulda, shoulda, may not change anything. This is what we think. then holding on that, not able to let it go, and self-forgiveness, is all kind of complicated. Sorry, but so if some of you like to hear from me, there's no easy solutions. In reality, there's no easy solutions, We have to put effort. Yeah, if it's just easy that somebody can pray, then all your disturbing thoughts go away. Why? All these enlightened beings doesn't help. It doesn't work like that. Why? Because everybody has mind. Everybody thinks. Not same things. Everybody thinks different things. Everybody has different desires. So therefore it's complicated. You can't just take out like this. It is stuff that you can just take away, or then now it's not there, no longer there. It's not like that. So we all should learn how to think. Then go back to the power of meditation. Power of meditation is to minimize or to reduce or to liberate yourself, from disturbing thought. Liberate. Protect yourself. Disturbing thought is like poison. No matter who generated it, if I generated it, there's no excuse. It's poison. If you generated it, it's poison. This rope doesn't protect from disturbing thought. Disturbing thought only protects from positive thought when you develop something positive thought. Think something positive. How often, please ask yourself a question, how often I think something positive? how often I thought when I wake up something positive. There are so many positive things to think about, but how often we think about those positive things? So that's the idea. So then eventually the more positive thought increase through meditations, positive thought increase even when we encounter some difficulties. Oh, see? Even when we encounter some difficulties, rather than negative thought arising at that moment, not right away, eventually positive thought arise. You are protected. You are safe, you are protected. You built well armor.
Armor.
You built armor, you know. Even when you encounter some difficulties, you still manage to think something positive. See, that is the result of, you know, consistent thinking something positive. See, if everything's falling apart, everything's in one after another, everything's falling apart, you still manage to think something positive. You know how to transform that difficult circumstance into the path that will lead you someplace you can breathe. See? So that's the result, you know. Even when you encounter some difficulties, there's a result. So then, slowly, when you go to Costco and Sam's Club, with the big shopping cart, nobody carrying one stuff, everybody's carrying so much. All the line is very long. End of the line, you could sit there happily. And see, you have experience, I have experience, how many times we think, wow, this is a wonderful opportunity to think something good. No. We are thinking, why is the shortest line? I don't blame myself, I don't blame anybody, that's what we do, you know, like, where's the shortest line? We are not looking at where's the longest line that I can wait and, you know, practice my patience, no. But we talk about patience. So see, that's human nature, that's okay, that's human nature. But, you know, slowly needs to improve, okay, slowly. So then, slowly when you wake up, you are thinking something positive. When you're eating, you are thinking something positive. When you're showering, you are thinking something positive. When you're wearing your clothes, you are thinking something positive. When you're driving, you are thinking something positive. Can you imagine if everybody does something like that? The world is going to be a better place, no doubt. No doubt. if everybody was thinking like that, no? I'm not saying if everybody was saying prayer, then the world is going to be better. It's hard to say. If everybody was thinking something positive, then the world is going to be a better place, no? So I just want to share, you know. So meditation does not mean, you know, sit here, you know, a couple of minutes, you know, so then slow, you know. It's not how to learn. Meditation is not about how to learn how to take a nap. So it's about how to think something positive. So therefore, all my friend, myself, we are here to share our experience, our knowledge. You know how to think something positive. So that's what's critical. So then slowly, we will learn not to react on every single thought that arises. Please think about that. No, think, not just think. Think twice. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to react on every single thought? Probably not. If you are concerned about your happiness, if you are concerned about a positive atmosphere, maybe it's not worth it to react on every thought. Some thoughts you can digest, you can just keep and digest, you know. Then you also learn how to let it go, not just hold on there, you know. this heart, as I said before, it's hard. But no, it can become easier, you know, with effort. Okay? So just want to share that with you. So then, what we are going to discuss here, somebody put it here, how can I have self-compassion? So when I make terrible mistake, I don't think there's one cause of mistake, any mistake that we make in our life, I don't think there's one cause. There's many causes and conditions. So, and try to have clear pictures, you know, that's like very, very difficult, you know, very difficult. See, butterfly, the wing of the butterfly, there's so many different colors. Each color has caused by different things. Probably scientists say genes, or maybe, I'm not sure, like, or what they say. Genes, you know, it's not one gene. From a scientific point of view, even they are talking about gene, Buddhism, we don't talk about gene, you know, so probably they don't know about gene. So, it's not one gene, there's many, many genes. So. Even though it's the one wing, there's so many different colors, there's been so many genes, been so many causes, you know. Then having, like, and trying to figure that out very clearly is very difficult, you know. Every mistake that we make in our life, you make, I make, everybody make mistake, you know, everybody make mistake. So every mistake has, you know, so many causes and conditions, you know? It's not just one cause, you know? Not just one cause. See, it's not just one cause. You know? Therefore, blaming yourself is not the answer, it's not the answer. So last Wednesday, you know, I've been teaching that one particular text in Wednesday, people who want to go a little bit deep into Buddhist teaching, so then based on their request, I try to explain that text. In that text, so last Wednesday, the section there where we touch is how to imagine this body as sacred. So I told them, you know, so now see, according to their teachings, looking down on oneself is not good. If you have certain vows, you break them. Not just break them, it break them from the root. That means you lose the vows, you know. Certain cases you damage the vows, but you can still refresh. And some, like, something that breaks the vow from the root, that means no refresh, it's gone. It's gone, you know. So they're like looking down. Some tradition, I'm not sure the Jews, I'm not sure that some tradition, don't they consider this like temple, talk about? It is sacred, you know, there's so much, you know. Anyway, that's why in Buddhism it's called precious human life. It's not like, you know, piece of junk. It's precious. It's precious, it's not just what you think is not correct, you know. Every mistake has so many different causes. It's not just one cause. Many, many causes. So today, so here, as I mentioned, maybe last Sunday, how to forgive, you know, how to forgive yourself. Of course, you know, if you make mistake, you think about that. And why we think about them again and again, when we do something positive things, why we don't think about that again and again? Why we don't think about, you know, like, why we don't think about that, like, every Halloween, we give candy, right? So for children. But we don't think about that again and again, you know. We make some mistake and we think again, think about again and again. No, this is the habit, So, as I mentioned, you know, last Sunday, like, from my knowledge, you know, based on Buddhism, you know, the knowledge that I gained from, like, studying Buddhism, how to forgive yourself, you know, self-forgiveness, and now it's the self-forgiveness, everybody knows how to forgive. what you do. When you remember certain things that you went wrong, last year there's some mistake you make, what you do? You still remember that, and you think about that, and you are very good at meditating on that. You gain so much realization, no? It can be automated, you just think about the negative. What you do? The fourth point that I mentioned, regret, you know, not guilt, regret. You know, regretting towards something negative is positive. Regretting towards something positive is negative. Regret can be both. So have a strong regret and do something, you know. So like, is it possible, my question, is it possible to think something negative? Some mistake. Is it possible to think about some mistake out of positive mind? Is it possible? Is it possible to think the dirty dishes in the sink out of positive? Sorry, let me say it again. The sink is full of dirty dishes, you know. So is it possible to think about that dirty dishes out of positive mind? So this is very critical. You can stop thinking, you know, some mistake that we make. You can just simply stop or not to think. That's not going to work. No? So now, how's about... think, but out of positive mind. Is it possible to think some... Think about positive set of mind, then think about mistake. Is it possible? That's what I'm trying to say last Sunday, you know? Not just sit, you know, do something. I'm not asking, this is not my order. It's just what, I'm just sharing my understanding of how to forgive yourself. You are not only one who have something to forgive. Everybody, including myself, everybody has something to forgive yourself. Because nobody in the samsara is perfect, no? See, that's the nature of samsara. In samsara, people think about samsari things, it's not surprised, should not be surprised. No? So, is it possible? Please, you are smart, you can read, you can write, you know, think about that. Is it possible to think some mistake out of positive mindset rather than upset, you know, negative mindset? When you think about something negative out of negative mindset, then that's not good. It's not good. Same like, that's experiment. Oh, like dirty dishes in the sink. If you think about that out of negative mindset, more likely a person who live with you probably get scold. Or maybe also get scream, or or maybe throw a couple of dishes out of the sink, no? They are going to break, they are not going to be clean. If you throw them out, they are going to be break, no? Then you end up going to buy a new one, because eventually you need another one, because you already break one. But you know, you are thinking to clean them, but you break one. You are not clean, you know. So then you scream, other person probably run away. Not going to come to you to help. You know, that person is scared to come close to you to help. That person run away. So many times we lose our calm mind, peaceful mind. So many different ways, you know. So why? Because we act on our thought. Minute it arises, we don't think twice, we act right away. So that's the problem. So we could protect this wonderful environment. You just enjoy. You could protect that. It could last a little longer. But you choose, not choose, but you know, it's unfortunate. It's not like you choose to destroy that. No, not at all. Nobody wants to destroy that. And people don't understand. Everybody has problems. So everybody needs to be, everybody needs to look at everybody with compassion. You know? Everybody has problems. Everybody has problems, you know. So we don't look at that, we don't know, we tend to look at it from negative point of view, no? So everybody, every day, that's just example, huh? No? If you think about the dirty dish out of positive mind, then do it positively, yeah, you get more help, and that environment, the atmosphere that you're enjoying, it will last, could last a little longer, because you know how you are protecting them. But it's hard. It's hard. But need to think about own happiness of other people with that conviction that you are 100% convinced that's the right thing to do for happiness, for yourself and for everybody. That's the right thing to do. You have to be convinced that 100% the path that you're choosing is the right path to happiness for everybody. So just want to share this with you. So then, the question is, how is it possible? Is it possible to think some mistake out of positive mind? Is it possible? If it's possible, then of course when you're remembering them, you could do something positive too. Then slowly, when that memory arises, it doesn't hurt much as it used to be hurt. So that means you become more gentle, more wise. And slowly, that's how you let it go. So uptight, now you become a little bit flexible. First time when you think about that person, even just thinking about that person, I get so angry, there's no way that we can see each other, there's no way. There's no way just thinking something positive. So angry, very, very angry. Then you think. Right now, when you think about somebody, talk about that person, somebody brings up to the conversation that person's name, you are okay. You know? Then slowly, things get better. Huh? So sorry, because so much time took. So now here, how can I have self-compassion when I make a terrible mistake? Huh? And from the emptiness point of view, everything, whatever we label, everything is labeled. That's how we communicate. Everything is labeled, and especially in the Western world, there's much more level. There's so many levels. It's really amazing. It's quite amazing. Every single thing they show on the TV, there's one expert. Somebody talk of frog, there's frog expert. Somebody talk of pepper, there's pepper expert. Somebody talk of hair, there's hair expert. Oh, amazing. Really, that's every single thing. If somebody laughing like this, they call expert. And they ask them what it means, amazing. Really. See. I'm not sure why I'm saying this. So anyway, here, my friends, self-compassion, first need to know what is compassion. So then after that, then self-compassion. So then mistake, terrible, everything level, What do you call, everything's level. It's not like they are there right from the beginning. We just call them this, that. We just call them, We just label. Chinang chenam, chinang, chin, external existence. All the external existence, chinang. Nam, internal, all the internal existence. Juma. When you look at the clear lake, then there's a reflections occur. It looks exactly like tree, looks exactly like moon, but that's not moon. It appears as a moon, appears as a tree, it appears as a you, but that's not you. It's just reflections of that lake. It is not you. Don't believe what you see in the lake. You don't believe that's real. Then if you jump, so there's one story of a monkey, so they see something, they jump, even a lion sees some reflection of himself in the well. So then, that show all the aggressiveness. Yeah, the reflection is going to be more aggressive. Then, jump. There's nothing inside, it's just a reflection. So, that's called concentration. There's many, many different types of concentrations. Hundreds of different types of concentrations. One particular concentration that you gain thinking about emptiness theory. Emptiness. Then you gain this concentration, then you don't treat everything like very serious. Everything is like reflections. It's not solid, it's just reflections. If you go there, grab, there's nothing to grab, it's just reflections. It appears as a prayer wheel, but you can't grab, it's just say, idea, or it's just reflections. So then, doing a lot of meditation on emptiness, you gain one particular concentration called Jumetenjin. Means concentration that allows you to see everything is like reflections. Another way to say it's like illusions. It's just illusion, It's illusions. Because it's just label, We call, we just label. Somebody called me Gilek. When I was born, I'm not Gilek. But somebody calls me Gilek. Then after that, I become Gilek. Then when I graduated from monastery, then they call me Gishi Gilek. They give me another name. Before that, there's no Gishi Gilek. It's just level. Somebody level Gishi Gilek. Then people say, it's Gishi Gilek. This room, before it has a fish fro. They did pray day and night at Trinity Buddhist Center. All the fish. No, just joking. Before it was fish for now that we call is Kadamba Center. Now it's become Kadamba Center. It's just label. So then we take that very seriously. Then we impose. Then we exaggerate. And then, then you become tired. Then you just bind yourself tighter. Then it's hard to release. So that's from the emptiness point of view. So then meditation on emptiness, you gain this particular concentrations called concentration that allows you to see everything is not serious as you think. Everything is like illusions. Everything is like reflections of your mind. Label. Even myself is label. If you really try to find, there's nothing to really find. Doesn't mean it's nothing. It is there. It means there's not there. It's there. But it's, it's not there exactly the way you think, the way we think. Like that. So that's from emptiness point of view. So go back to the mistake, terrible mistake, all this mistake and terrible mistake, as I said, from the karma point of view, there's so many different causes. From emptiness point of view, it's just level. So much has been said now. So now probably time to have some discussions, divide the group. I very much like to hear from you, we are not going to discuss about the self-forgiveness. We all know the word self-forgiveness. We are not discussing about the word. We are going to discuss about how to forgive. you may have different approach, then that will benefit all of them. Everybody so has problems. So this is time to help each other. So I very much like to hear how to forgive, how to let it go. If you learn how to forgive, then you know how to let it go. And you will let it go. If you know how to forgive yourself, you will let it go. You are not going to hold on that. You let it go. Huh? But how to do? From Buddhist point of view, it's like purification. Purification. Thinking, then doing something positive. Not just sit around and think more negative. Thinking something mistake out of negative mindset. And while you are thinking it, your mind is all upset. While you're doing, you are doing really nothing. You're just upset and sitting, just upset or crying, or maybe get more angry. I think that's not wise way to do. So whenever, from the Buddhist purification point of view, whenever we think something some kind of mistake or some kind of problems, we try to think that out of positive mindset. So that's why I ask, is it possible? Is it possible to think some mistake out of positive mindset? Is it possible? If the answer is yes, then how to do? So I very much like to share that, okay? So then I'm now really going to stop talking. Yeah. So discussion. Yeah, please, maybe divide groups, or then relevant nuns, maybe ask them to share their input. Sounds like you are having wonderful discussions. Please, would you mind to share some of your discussions with us? Yeah.
I guess I'm going to be first. Our group mainly talked about how being imperfect is an important point to remember when we think about ourselves, and to recognize that the constancy of our mistakes is going to be a fact of life, and how do we accept that constancy of mistakes, and also at the same time that there are many examples, Milarepa was brought up, of how we can change becoming enlightened in one lifetime after having murdered how many people, that it is possible for us to change the way we think, even though we've been programmed by perhaps other religions or programmed by our parents to think that we are not good at heart, and that we are not good enough. And so, we were very encouraged by many of the examples in our Buddhist study.
That's good. Yeah, please look there.
Oh, okay. We talked about a lot of things, and I think the first thing that came up, it's really just a mindset. It's like a conscious choice, and that and just speaking for our group, that sometimes it's just the easy way out, not to forgive yourself, because it's just the way we're programmed. It's just easier. Okay, and that it takes work on yourself to just make a conscious choice. And the other thing is that, and this is something I have realized, something I read about a month ago, is that when something initially happens, whether it's good or bad, in those moments of it, when it initially happens, it's key for me to minimize value judgments on them. Just so even if, if I win $1 million or my car crashes, I try not to put the initial, because once my mind gets on an initial negative or positive in those instant moments, then I'm done. So I try my best to just, okay. And we just, yeah, we talk about it. It's a mindset, and that, you know, there's many causes we talked about. And then finally that, let me see if I can explain this right. Finally that if you just forgive yourself, you're going to learn from it. So you can almost embrace these kinds of things. And but again, that's a mindset. We talked about that a lot. It's a mindset that you're going to choose to learn something from it and to forgive yourself. And if you learn something from it, and then we also said that it's this path is great because it some of why you don't forgive yourself is because it's a self-esteem issue. We've been conditioned to think we're not worthy of it, whereas Buddhism thinks we're innately good because we have that Buddha nature in us. Mm-hmm. And that's a big difference. I am worthy of forgiving myself. So, was that? Okay.
She loves to speak in public. Oh, I love to speak in public. It's my favorite thing to do. So basically, for me, what all of us spoke about was how to change a negative mind. For me, the thing that I found is easiest is when I do have negative thoughts that come in, to just change it and just run my mind through with mantras. And that's the easiest thing for me. You have to finish.
She's done. Okay, so then we went to owning it. So we think that if you can just own it, you sort of stop the craziness and you just say, just own it, I did it. And then you can take some action. So if you can get to action quicker, then you can change the way you look at it. And then not living in the past where we just want to stay, blah, blah, blah. It's like, the groove just keeps going back to what I did in the past instead of, and then that won't let you go to the future. It's the same really good connection that if you have to realize that you're still in the past and there's no reason to keep staying right there. You have to go to fix it and go to the future. And then I have a fun one I do is come up with a role model. If it's Julia Binoche, Olympia Dukakis, Katharine Hepburn. I mean, it's not always thinking of His Holiness. What would His Holiness do? It's a little large. So if I think, Juliette Binoche might go, I get that. You know, instead of me wanting to react or do something, she would breathe and pause. And so I think, if I can't do it, if Jill can't do it, then what would Juliette do in this moment? So it's my funny little silly way to say, what would somebody else do that's got more abilities than I have right now? Is that everybody? Okay. Who's next?
Hi. We discussed many things everyone shared. One important thing is to have that space after the mistake, that you don't grab that negative thought, that you give that space, take a step back, and allow yourself some time before you react, because a lot of times our first reaction will be a negative reaction. It's also... we have to equal ourselves with others. You know, when someone cuts us off in traffic, we think, well, maybe they're more important than me. But when we do that, we think, well, we're less important. And we're not less important. It's just maybe they're in a hurry right now. So we don't judge, but at the same time, we don't think of ourselves as being less than. Right. And then when we do have that thought jumps into our mind, you know, it's just a thought. I forget who said it now. I think it was Venerable Choden. You can't believe everything you think. Right. It's just a thought that jumped in your mind. And just because it's a thought, it doesn't make it a true thought. Not a real thing. What else? I think that's about it. I think that's all. Who's next?
So we kind of had different approaches to it, but some of the similarities we did have were, I think, the importance of some kind of daily practice of meditation. It just in general seemed like it was really helpful. And then also we talked a bit about emptiness, that these things that we do, they don't exist from their own side. Go all into emptiness, but no, but that was really important, I think, to the three of us as well. And the idea of, like, recognizing that these are mistakes that we make, but, like, what can we do to learn from them was really crucial, and that was part of our path, is to have these mistakes occur with us and then look at them and see what we can do about them as part of our path. But I think a big part of it for us, I think, was that issue of emptiness. Things don't exist the way we see them as existing. So,
it seems that it's unanimous that we think about the same way in terms of being present in a moment. The past is gone. We can take it back, and the future doesn't exist, actually. So all you have is right now. So just if you focus on that, and whatever happens, if you can take something, it doesn't have to be positive, because even something negative, if you learn anything from that negative outcome, it is something that is going to carry with you right now. You don't know what's going to happen, you know, in 2 minutes from now. So, and I think that's what everybody also said about the ego, to allow yourself to be just as precious and just as human as the next person. And that is the forgiving yourself too.
Over here, we talked about, I guess, the way it all summed up was... it's our egos that seem to be causing a lot of things. So what do we do, whether it's their ego or our ego that's causing the conflict? And one of the things we discussed was meditating on equality, that they're just as equal as we are, as important as we are, and we are also as important as them. So it, in both ways, we have to think of ourselves as being on the same level. And so, therefore, we can forgive them if we feel that their opinion is just as important as ours. And we can also forgive ourselves if we feel like we are just as important as them. Another method of dealing with it that I've had to work on is seeing those people as a precious jewel, that every time they anger me or get me upset, I have to see them as a precious jewel and meditate on that, so I can see that they're pressing my buttons, and so I can get rid of my buttons. So I have to sit there and work on it and say, oh, they found that lovely button I have. I need to work on that. So I think, and everybody wants to be happy, so we have to recognize that they're looking for happiness, we're looking for happiness, and if we can see that what their happiness is, that maybe we can work around forgiving them and forgiving ourselves and all trying to be happy.
In the practice, something that really helps and becomes almost like second nature
is really reciting with consciously the four immeasurables. That's something I do every day with my daughter, and it's almost second nature. It becomes so natural to have that state of mind to of the four immeasurables. That's a good practice.
So it's just important to memorize that you know, the mistakes you make, they're learning experiences. And you should look back at it not like, oh, I did something wrong, but I did something, and from that point on, I know not to do it again, and I can forgive myself. Like so.
I think we... also, a lot of what was already said we had discussed. The only thing really in addition to was before changing or turning our mind, We discussed being present in the moment and allowing ourselves to feel the emotion first before turning it. I wrote down pull self out of situation, be present in the moment, sit and try not to act. We had already discussed being okay with the sadness and anger, feeling your emotions. And then when you're turning it to kind of get rid of the story, I liked that expression, to... if you could help me add to that. I think when you had said when we pull ourselves out of the story, then we can, if we can't have compassion for ourselves, then the analogy was when you're in an airplane to put your oxygen mask on first so that you can be better for someone else, as a tool to get there. So if you can't have it for yourself naturally, to practice that, to move on.
Okay, so my name is Doug, and this is John. He was in our group, and this young lady is Hannah and Sandy, her mom. And so we kind of went around and talked about quite a bunch of different things. You know, Sandy talked a little bit about when, you know, becoming aware of when she was thinking negative thoughts and kind of saying it's kind of a mantra to herself to become more self-aware. We talked a little bit about, you know, understanding that at any given moment in time, we do the best we can, and kind of looking back at certain points in our life and saying, we did the best we could at this moment in time, and looking at others and saying that even if they're doing something we don't like, that they're doing the best they can at that moment in time. And that kind of led to conversations about kind of, you know, self-forgiveness, and, you know, looking at times when we might run off and try to fix things. We kind of went to the guy thing, being more, guys kind of do that more than ladies, but it's universal, I think, across the board, that if we're not wanting to experience our feelings or our emotions, then we have a tendency perhaps to try to fix things. And being accepting that that's okay because we weren't ready to be vulnerable to experience our emotions and feelings in that time, and that it was just an effort to experience something we didn't want to experience, and to forgive ourselves for the times that we've tried to fix things or perhaps tried to fix others because we didn't want to sit with those uncomfortable feelings at that moment. And, you know, so we talked about that a lot, and, you know, Hannah, you know, she's in school still, and she's perhaps the strongest of all of us here because she just said, you know, if I didn't like something, I just would have my boundaries. I think it's kind of paraphrasing, but, and, you know, her mom kind of kicked in and said, you know, or I think John might have done, that, you know, if, you know, people pick on people being victims. So to have strong boundaries is really important. I think we started talking a little bit about that. So did I miss anything, guys? All right. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Yawo, and pardon me if this is a little inappropriate, but I'm a priest of my own tradition, and I'm still, like, learning, right? And I feel like the more I learn, the less I know. Seriously. And so the question that's running in my mind is this, when we talk about forgiveness, which is, I'm really grateful for this, is when I think about forgiveness, I think about it from the perspective of, like, what other people have done to me. And, like, I rarely, because I'm human, think about how did I participate. But I know that I've told myself stories about what has happened to me. And in those stories is identity. Like, this is how I've come to identify myself. And now what I'm, I guess, struggling with is, who am I actually without the stories? And I'm like, well, who am I? You know? And then I think, well, I don't know who I am, but like, forgiveness for me is like almost a detachment, allowing me space to kind of figure out what is. Like, I don't know if I'm making any sense, but that's what I'm thinking about. Like, who am I really? Like, I chose my circumstances, I participated in everything that I did. And everything that happened to me, I was an active participant. And what did they teach me? And, like, why? I don't know. Those are the things that come in my mind when I talk about forgiveness. It's not just the other person. It's also myself, and it's also everyone else. And then I think about, like, holding compassion. What does that mean? How do I hold compassion for myself, and how do I hold compassion for all beings? Just like I said, the more I think, the less I know. So thank you for letting me ask, like, who am I?
In our group, we talked about a lot of the same tools that the rest of the group has talked about. But two that kind of struck me were June mentioned looking at our attachment, you know, our attachment to ourselves, our attachment to doing things right, and that was very useful. And then Sandy mentioned looking at the emptiness of what is a mistake. You know, is it really a mistake? Where does it come from? You know, is there another way to look at it when it's not a mistake? So those were the two things that really stood out in our group.
Dr. Brown? Dr. Don Brown has nothing to say. nothing to say? Yes, sir.
Hello? I think one of the things that I saw in myself is kind of, you know, when you say, how do I forgive myself, there's a part of me which I think is ego-centered that doesn't want to forgive me. Like, it's hard to let go of my story and the things that I've done. It just doesn't leave easily. I can't say, I forgive myself, or I forgive myself, or I forgive myself, or I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. It doesn't give me access to actually letting go of the negative charge of something I've done. So I think, letting go, if that is what we mean by forgiveness, is not just simply saying the words, I let go. It's actually quite profound process, and as Gisela said earlier, I think it has a lot to do with purification practice and just allowing whatever's happened to come into awareness, and then to work with it to actively let it go. Then it's possible to at least let go of the charge. Forgetting about it is not the point in my mind. I don't want to forget about the bad things I've done because I don't want to do them again, but to let go of the negative charge associated with it so that I can live my life not being run by that is the point of purification practice.
Yeah, thank you very much. All of you, thank you. Thank you all for your contribution. Thank you so much. So I'm sure, did we learn something? Yeah, see, everybody has something to contribute. Everybody has something to contribute. So very, very grateful. Thank you so much, you know. So you are sharing that from your, not just from the book. So this is what is, like, amazing about the discussion. It's not just, you are not thinking of some book. Most of the time I'm talking here, you know, I'm thinking of some books that I study, you know, so that's why, you know, when you hear from the people, you know, this is like, really, like, it's not just understanding, I think it's like experiential understanding. That's what people are sharing here. So, very grateful. Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution. And we are going to stop, okay? Thank you very much. Now time is over. Thank you. If I start talking, we'll stuck here till 1 o'clock. So I'm not going to do this. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Turn to 246 in the gold book. 246.
God, then maybe next time, whenever, what any suggestion that you have, or maybe it's good to talk about Sunday on this particular topic, then please put in the suggestion box, so then everybody able to contribute something, okay? Next thing, if you think, oh, maybe this is something important to talk about, you know, so then put it in the box, so then somebody will put it here, so then I'll read, then we'll discuss, okay? Yeah.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.
Thank you, Lama. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming here and have a nice weekend. Thank you.
And I have just a quick announcement. I'm Donna Cease. I'm one of our co-SBCs, and I want to let you know about a couple of exciting things that are happening this week. Tuesday through Sunday, Geshe Zangpo and Gay Norbu will be creating a green Tara sand mandala right here in the Gampa. This is very beneficial for Kadampa Center, and it's a great way to make a little closer connection with green Tara. So he'll be here 9 to 5 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then Sunday morning they'll be completing the mandala, and Sunday afternoon we will have a Tara Puja followed by the deconstruction of the sand mandala, and you'll be able to take some of the sand home with you. So I do hope you'll come. Oh, and we'll also be doing Tara practice on Saturday night, so it's like Green Tara Week. So I hope you'll be able to come for at least part of it, and then Karen will tell you about the other event on Sunday.
Great. Thank you. I'm Karen. So to follow up the Tara mandala, we have a community dinner planned on Sunday evening, and many of you have already RSVP'd. It is at a Tibetan restaurant. There's going to be a great Tibetan buffet. And the 5 o'clock seating has sold out. So that's wonderful. So there's 14 spots left for the 7 o'clock seating. So I would really encourage you to check our website and join us. Continue this great conversation that we had today over a wonderful meal. So thank you. Oh, you can buy tickets from me or through the website. Thank you.